Wednesday edition of the Chris Ramey Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com as we talk the Wyndham Championship with our guy Rick Gaiman of RickRungood.com in just a moment. Get you set to fill out your DFS lineups. Come down the stretch with one and done. Make some picks. All of that coming up on today's program. Don't forget, subscribe to the Scoops with Danny Mac podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Hit me up on Twitter. Sent another batch of cards out today. So we want to get you some cards as long as you tell me who you want to put a bounty on. Hit me up, C-H-R-A-B-E. All you got to do, subscribe, leave a review, and send me a screenshot wherever you listen to your podcasts. All right, Rick Gaiman joins us. RickRungood.com is where you go to get set for your DFS lineups every single week, for your betting card, for your one-and-done picks. And I want to talk a little one-and-done strategy because I know, Rick, one of the leagues that you're in is coming down to it at dead heat. What's going on, man? How are you?
Yeah, things are good. This is the home stretch. This is where all those playoff implications that everyone's been talking about for so long all come to fruition. And this is it. This is the sprint. The super season has four events left, and now it's just an outright sprint to the finish line.
Well, let's start with what everyone's talking about, and that is you doing something that not many people have the guts to do, and that is put a video of yourself playing golf. I wonder how many of us have ever been in a situation where our entire round could be audited. I certainly haven't. Like, I've never, even like if you've played in tournament play, like putting the camera on yourself, and I do it sometimes practicing to not the most aesthetically pleasing results, but man, it's great content, man. I urge people to, if they're not already, follow you on Twitter and Instagram, and of course check out RickRungood.com. But I love the tracking you're doing. I think we all need to do that to get better. I love the fact that you're putting up video. What's the experience been like?
Yeah, scary. You know, everybody in the comments immediately turns into a swing coach, which I think is great. Yeah.
Thanks,
right?
Guys.
But no, I mean, listen, it helps me be accountable. I think it's really fun content. That's like the type of content that I like to consume. And 100%. That's always kind of been my thing, is like, listen, I'm going to do what I like. If other people like it, great. If they don't, that's fine. And to break up kind of, you know, the monotony of fantasy golf and sport, 100%. Like I love all of that, but like, you know, if I can roll out a Sunday round or something like that, like let's do it. It's fun, and I could feel like the pressure, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like I could feel it. I was ready to eject myself into the sun on the eighth hole, and I was finally able to figure it out on the back. But yeah, it's scary.
That was a nice back nine that you had, man. And you know, it's cool because I really do think that, you know, it's almost akin to like, I remember when one of the, it might have been like Drew McGarry from Deadspin was trying to lose weight and like was posting his weight every single day on Twitter.
Oh my God.
And it worked. And I think he got a bunch of people, you know, to do it as well. And with the tracking you're doing, and it's so easy right now, whether you're using an app or if you're, you know, you'll have to remind me the exact what you're using to track. But I know a lot of the guys on tour are using the Decade system now. Like, I get mad at myself. There's no excuse, you know, if you want to get better, you certainly don't have to, but all the tools are there to put information in. And us as normal, you know, weekend warriors can get all of this incredible strokes gained data from databases that have been compiled around the world, and it helps you get better.
Yeah, I use it's Arcos, which is
Arcos. Okay, yes.
It's and I've only had it for eight rounds, but it is there are sensors that go on the end of all your clubs. So people were like, "How'd you get the strokes gain numbers so quickly?" Like, it's happening in real time. I'm every single shot I hit is being tracked because there's sensors on every single one of my clubs. It all goes straight to the app, and it's been, yeah. I mean, it really has. enlightened me to the strengths and weaknesses of my game. Like, I kind of knew, but I don't think I knew everything.
Well, and if you don't want to spend the couple, and it's very reasonable, but even if you don't want to spend the couple $100, you can still, you know, input data manually about where you're hitting shots, where you're missing, and then, you know, different apps can measure it against, you know, comparable gin numbers at comparable courses. It's just, it's cool, and I think that, I hope that this next handful of years might be the biggest opportunity for growth of the game and the casual player since, like, Tiger, because we're getting to a point now where I think pricing of really nice new technology is getting to a point where it's more affordable, kind of like TVs a handful of years ago. Mm-hmm. And there's all this cool technology where you can get better, you can evaluate yourself. It's almost like having the Peloton in your house instead of having to go to the gym, in a sense. Right.
Yeah, and not only with the kind of explosion of people getting back into playing golf in the last year and a half, but yeah, also combine that with the technology, and you know, the PGA Tour is in a great spot, which keeps people excited. Golf is in a very good spot moving forward.
All right, Rick Gaiman is with us, and let's talk about moving forward on the PGA Tour as we head to the Wyndham Championship. We saw an interesting round last weekend, a Sunday round at St. Jude at the WGC event in Memphis. And now we see Hideki Matsuyama, as you pointed out, I think, on Twitter a little bit earlier today, with a first as he rolls in at $11,000 at the top of how would you characterize this DraftKings card and this field, Rick?
Ooh,
it's kind of like a,
I don't know how I would characterize it. I think it's top heavy.
It's not top heavy, but it's a lot of guys who I think have decently high ceilings, but also floors that can, you know, Kevin Kisner on Sunday, like he did in Memphis. Not all or nothing guys, but there are some big projected ceiling guys on the Rick game on cheat sheet.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that are pretty good. It's just, you know,
pretty
what I mean?
Good.
Pretty good guys. You know,
between AAA and the big leagues, and then a couple big leaguers.
Yeah, there's, you know, Hideki leads the way at 11,000. It's certainly deserved. It was a little surprising just because of how good Webb Simpson has been at this event. I mean, he's been absolutely dominant the last 4 years. He hasn't finished worse than third. That is not, I did not misquote that. That is actually real. He won here a couple of years prior. I mean, he's just been piling up top 10 finishes at this event since he's been playing it. So I kind of look at this board, and the first decision that everyone is going to have to make is to Webb or not to Webb. That's really the question. And then the answer to that question kind of helps you make your decisions a little bit further down the board. And especially now that Patrick Reed has withdrawn, it kind of polarizes the top even more than it already was.
All right. So as we then do have a bunch of guys who, you know, whether you're looking at the strokes gained metrics, if you're looking at comparable Donald Ross courses, if you're looking at, you know, how guys are going to attack the course and, you know, birdie opportunities, scoring opportunities, when you have a lot of guys who can, you know, put up some numbers, but who can have very interesting scorecards. Like, I'm looking at, you know, up and down the cheat sheet right now, guys like Sebastian Munoz, obviously Ricky Fowler, Kevin Na, even a little bit further down. You know, someone like Alonto Griffin. Like, when you have a lot of big ceiling guys, but in a field that isn't necessarily strong, so the pricing is you know, correlated, how do you try to differentiate a lineup? Or do you say, I don't worry about that, and I just want to get, you know, the best roster or the guys that I have to have, like we talk about sometimes?
Yeah, I think the good news is that, you know, basically every golfer from 9,000 to 7,500 is kind of similar, right? There's not a huge, like, I don't think that Bubba Watson, who is $9,000, is significantly better than Taylor Gooch, who is 7,700. Like,
they're all Johnny Vegas. They're all Charles Schwartzel or Kevin Streelman. Yeah,
they're kind of all the same. So I actually think it's a lot easier to look at the ownership, realize who the popular guys are going to be. Schwartzel will be popular. He's a great play. Streelman will be popular. Henley will be popular. You know, and if you want to differentiate, it's very easy to do because there's so many guys that if you're looking at projections or you're just kind of comping, you know, the advanced stats, they're all very similar. So I actually think it's pretty easy this week. And for those who are not building the natural build is, you know, Simpson, Henley, Schwartzel or Lebioda, something like that. If you want to just differentiate a little bit, it's very, very easy to do. And you're not leaving a lot on the table if you're doing that.
How about a couple of guys who have played well, but haven't necessarily seen the correlation in their ownership, like a Sebastian Munoz, who in, you know, some different events has had some good finishes, like who else are looking at? Mackenzie Hughes, who right now you project, I think, fairly surprisingly low on the cheat sheet. Even someone like a Ches Reavy, who last year at this time I think was, you know, in a much different spot from a pricing perspective. Those kind of guys who are playing well, but the public still isn't on them. How do you view that kind of group, Rick?
Yeah, that's probably where I'd want to live. You know, Ches Reavy, you know, there's a lot of...
Why are people off him all of a sudden?
I just think that there's so many guys on tour and he doesn't win much and he's Ches Reavy and it's not, you know, it's not the sexiest thing in the world. It's easy to kind of just, you know, find out who the flavor of the month is and go with that guy. But Reavy's great from these like 100 to 150 yard shots. He's been dialing in his irons much better recently. He's been putting up results. He's been making a lot of cuts. He's showing a little bit of upside. He's someone that I think is really interesting. And even a Taylor Gooch, you know, Taylor Gooch, he relies on the ball striking. He relies on the approach play. He's very well regarded amongst his peers. He's half the ownership of Hank Lebioda. Is he 50% as likely or half as likely to win this golf tournament as Lebioda? Absolutely not. He is certainly someone that I think you should be targeting. And if you are trying to go for, you know, maybe a more popular play, there is something about Russell Henley where he missed the cut at the Open Championship the last time we saw him, but he had piled up a bunch of really good finishes before that. He's also another one of these guys that, listen, Sedgefield might as well be called Wedgefield, right? Like, you're going to hit a ton of wedges, you're going to hit a ton of nine irons, and that's really up the alley of someone like a Russell Henley.
All right, so let's pop this in real quick. I'll start with Russell Henley, and then I'll go to a couple of the guys that we just mentioned. I mean, can you say that like an Adam Shank is kind of in that group? Is a Patrick Rogers kind of in that group? Guys that, again, you feel like they're going to make the cut and have opportunity to get you some points with fairly low ownership?
Shank's been great. Shank's been really good. Two top four finishes in his last four starts. You know, even earlier in the year, he was a consistent cut maker. We're not seeing that level of consistency anymore, but I think that's good because we're seeing him kind of tap into a little bit of the volatility. And then you have to remember, you know, Rogers is kind of interesting because he is, and I don't know if this is good news or not, and obviously it's going to impact everybody differently, but he, without looking, I think he's like 122nd or 123rd in the FedEx Cup standings.
Yeah, right.
He does
there.
Not. Yeah, he does not have his card for next year. So if he does not qualify for the playoffs, you know, he'll either have to go down to the Korn Ferry Tour Finals or he'll lose his card. So there is certainly plenty of motivation for those guys right on the bubble.
Yeah, there are a number of those guys. I'm looking right now, so I plugged in Russell Henley as we're with Rick Gammon, rickrungood.com. You can find all this information on the cheat sheet. Get the showdown cheat sheets over the weekend and see who's maybe due to catch some breaks. We go Henley, Reavy, Shank. Who else did we say in that group? Kind of the
was between there Gooch? Was Gooch in there?
Gooch was in there. So then that gives us two left and an average salary of $9,100.
Wow.
So we can do a lot of different things. Do you like grabbing one of the 10,000-ish guys? Do you like to maybe live at the bottom of the nines, top of the eights, and go against the ownership, go against the grain?
If we plug in Webb,
all right,
what does that leave us?
That gives us 7,600, where we could go Mackenzie Hughes. We could go with Patton Kizzire. You mentioned a lot of people will be plugging in Lebioda, Grace, Pan, Lanto, Doug Gim, Rogers.
Yeah, I'm
Rory Sabatini, Damon Kirk.
Sabatini's kind of interesting. I mean, he's played horrible until Tokyo.
His ownership's really low, too.
Played horrible until Tokyo. Maybe he found something there with a silver medal. He's finished top six two of the last 4 years here. That and he's going to be, like sub 5%. That's kind of interesting to me.
Okay, I like it. That gives us Gooch, Henley, Reavy, Sabatini, Shank, Simpson, and That puts us, man, from an ownership perspective, Webb is our highest at 30, then everybody else is right. I mean, we're between what, 55 and 60% total ownership? I like that a lot.
Love it. Love Rick, it. Yeah, that's sweet.
Rick Gaiman, rickrungood.com. Rick, before we wrap up, give folks an idea of A, if they don't, why coming down the wire right now, they should make sure that they get into a one and done, get into the Rick Rungood one and done. And give us kind of, from a big picture standpoint, have you arrived where you wanted to arrive in terms of, you know, competing week in and week out, having a shot at it, but also having a stable of guys that you want to have for down the stretch?
No, I have not.
Because you turn and burn early, which you have to do, because I was freaking out by, like, you know, before the Masters.
So my general thought process, and I might have gone overboard, is foot down on the gas immediately, because there's going to be guys that pop up. There's going to be a Will Zalatoris. There's going to be a Seamus Power. There's going to be, I mean, Louis Oosthuizen is way outperforming what people thought coming into the year. There's going to be a Harris English. There's going to be a Stuart Sink who's won two times. There's going to be these guys. And my idea is just worry about that later. And I like the one and done because it is a really good strategy. It is a strategy game. It is a mental battle between, you know, what you would want to do. Like if you created your one and done before the season and then trying to do it weekly, like they're two different mindsets. It's just a really cool, fun way to learn about a lot of golfers, find out places that they play well. And what I really love about it, Chris, you get one pick. And when you go through the process of having to choose one golfer to use in every spot throughout the year, you have to make hard decisions. And it's a really good thought process that I believe in.
Well, you can, again, follow along, rickrungood.com. He gives you the one and done preview every week, the DFS, the betting, the sleepers. It's all at rickrungood.com. Dude, awesome stuff too with you and Jeff Feinberg. That was fantastic for Odds Checker. You're just, I don't know how you keep finding more and more time to do more and more things, and then go out and play golf. So you're killing it, man.
My wife is very, very forgiving and very great, and she lets me do a lot of this fun stuff. So yes, it's kudos to her, not me.
RickRungood.com. You're the best. Thank you, brother. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, don't forget, hit me up on Twitter, subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, and we will be back tomorrow. Until then, this has been the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. I'm Chris Raby saying be nice to each other and go peace.